a use to me. They're an actual loss. As Brother Wood stated, they are a debt that's not going to be paid type. They are no more use, but they've hurt me as well. Paul says about these things, I count them loss for Christ. Why? Because these are things I used to depend on. These are things that I recommended myself unto God. I thought higher of myself because of these things. And now I count them a loss. I have to remove them, all thought that these will gain me anything with Christ Jesus. All these things are left at the door of salvation. They will not enter in. They gain me nothing. They actually cost me. I have to rethink. I have to set them aside. These are not things I can depend upon anymore. I must think on Christ. I must depend upon Christ. And with these things, temptation will arise. You can believe that the devil many times wanted to tempt Paul with these things, saying, you do not have to humble yourself such. Look at what you've done. Even before you did these things in ignorance, look at your life before Christ. Many times he had to lay him back down. He had to crucify himself again. Say, these things are a loss with my walk for Christ. They are no more gain, but they are a loss. The reason we do these things, the reason we commit ourselves to keeping the commandments of God, are not for our salvation. We understand this. They are for our love for Christ. And because we truly are committed to him, we truly want to please him and to make him happy with our lives. It is our ultimate goal for to be like Christ. It is our ultimate goal for us to enter into him and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is what we are shooting for, a Christ-likeness, a mind of Christ and a heart of Christ. That is why we commit ourselves so. Why our commitments must be so strong, because that's what it will take. But these are not what our salvation is dependent upon. There's a reason the Lord gave us that message this morning. And we don't need to take it lightly, as just another message preached from this pulpit. There's a reason for that. God is trying to tell us something. It is so easy for us just to settle back after we have received salvation, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just to settle back and say, I am now complete, and I don't have to do nothing else. But we need to always remind ourselves, if it not for Christ, where would we be? A continuous thought in our mind, if not for Christ. It will humble us, it will bring us to the place we need to be at the foot of Jesus. If not for Christ, it always needs to be brought back to our memories again and again and again. Not just something that we hear about every now and then and we apply only at that moment, but it's something we live by. It is our creed every day. If not for Christ, where would I be? This does spill over into more things than just salvation, though. There is more to that type of message than just our immediate salvation. This, once again, is what we live by. This is what we daily work with. If not for Christ, Christ does it all. For instance, in our seeking of revival, revival will come by one thing, God's power. That's the only thing that will bring revival. It will never be by the works of men. Never. No flesh will glory in his presence. Where his presence is, you can guarantee one thing. There is not one man leading the charge and gaining the glory. If his presence is there, there will be humbleness of spirit. There will be a humbleness of mind. And when revival comes, God's presence will be there. But one man will not be standing out front. One man will not be receiving the glory. If we look through history at the many mighty revivals, you say men did stand out front and there were leaders. Yes, this is true. Go back and read their writings, though. Go back and read what people said about them. They were never, not one time, trying to build their name. They were never seeking to glorify themselves. They had one thing in mind, and that is the will of the Father, to glorify Jesus Christ in this present world. You can read of such men as Evan Roberts, the main leader, and I believe, which was the Welsh Revival. they said when he would come into her service, sometimes he would come in a little bit late, getting off the road. They would be singing, already rejoicing in the Lord's presence. But he would sit on the front pew in the corner, many times with his head bowed. As there was rejoicing in the Lord, he would not get up front until the time that the leader called him, to the leader of the service called him. He would sit there with his head bowed and just meditate and think and say, Lord, what would you have me to do tonight? Lord, what is your will? He would never get up there in a haughty spirit. He would never get up there with a mind to sway the people. If the Lord did not want preaching, he would sit through there the whole service and he would not move. He would say, Lord, what is your will? Every time. Preaching came, he would give the sermon that God delivered to him, and that would be done. He would never glorify himself. You see throughout men like Moody, Wesley. One of the things Wesley hated the most was a prideful spirit and a prideful heart. He did not want it. He humbled himself daily. He said, I'll die to the flesh daily. Anything I can do to get any kind of pride is something he loathed and he feared even, is a prideful and a hardy spirit. And he searched himself. You read through the things, I forget the exact name, but the list that he gave to the Holy Club, they called it, for them to lead through. And you will guarantee one thing, there's no way a prideful man can live through that list and make it. These are the men that have led these revivals, but they have done it with a humble heart, always saying it will be by the power of Jesus Christ and nothing alone. His Spirit will be the leader of this revival. They had great success at it for one reason. They had a humble heart. They had a humble mind that said, I will not glorify myself. I will glorify Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is no secret formula to a revival. There is no certain amount of works that must be performed to see it come. It will come when our hearts are broken and surrendered to Him. It'll come when we throw our own agenda out the window and come just to see His will performed and His will done. It'll come when we trust only in His power to save and only in His power to convict and bring the sinner unto repentance. It will not come when we trust in how many prayers or how many fastings have been performed. It will come only when we trust in His power. When we trust the Holy Spirit to perform all the necessary works. Conviction, drawing, and wooing. And to bring truth to light to their hearts. That's what the power of the Spirit does. It is nothing we can do in ourselves. That is done by Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost does that. It will come when we trust only in Him. Prayer and fasting is for us to draw closer to God. It is not to bribe God in any way, shape, or form. We cannot cause God to feel indebted to us. It will not happen. We can pray from now to eternity. We will nowhere get close to what Christ has done for us. We can no way pay back what Christ has done for us and then start to gain or say, Lord, because we do this, you owe us this. That's not what it is. Any gift given by Jesus Christ, whether it be through our prayers or just His mercy, is one thing alone and one thing only. It is by His Spirit and it is a gift to us. It is not something we have earned. Revival will not be by our works. It will not be by our prayers. It will not be by our fastings. It will not be by our door knocking. It will not be by any of that. Though these things are necessary for it, it is not the end result. The end result is these things bring us closer to Jesus Christ. They bring us into a mind that is prepared for a revival. They bring us into a church and a church body that is ready to see such things. The Lord will not send such a revival and such power to a prideful people, to anybody that will misuse such power. He is not going to send new converts to a church that will mistreat them or lead them astray. He is not that type of God. He loves the new converts. He is not willing that they should be sent to a church that will send them astray. He will lead them to people who will teach them the true ways of God. When we see revival, and the Lord has promised it to us, and I believe we'll see it, But when we do, we will be of a heart that will glorify one thing and one thing only. That is the name of Jesus Christ. When the revival comes and the new converts come, we will point them to Christ. We will not point them to a man. We will not point them to an organization. We will teach them Christ. This is when revival will come. When we come together as a body with one single goal, that is the will of Jesus Christ. For a church to operate properly, there must be unity, brotherly unity. For there to be unity, there must be one singular goal. We must be united around one thing, and that one person is Jesus Christ. When we are united around Him, we will be of the same mind, we will be of the same heart, and we will be of the same spirit. We will be of the same mind to accomplish one goal, that is to glorify Jesus Christ. Revival will begin when what was preached to us this morning becomes more than just head knowledge. When it becomes a mindset and a heart. When our heart cries daily, Lord, if not for You, where would I be? If our heart is not in continual thankfulness for what the Lord did upon the Calvary, upon the cross, and what Jesus did for us there. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing he would boast in. That was the only thing that he would glory in. And that was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and what he did for him. That was his main glory. That's what he talked about. You read it in the scriptures. He talked about Jesus all the time. Every sentence, every paragraph was built upon one thing. That was Jesus Christ. You read through the epistles. His mind was so encapsulated with Jesus Christ. It's what he lived for, was Jesus Christ. And he had success because of that one reason. He was not seeking to build his name. He could care less whether or not his name went throughout history. He cared about one thing, that the gospel of Jesus Christ was brought unto the Gentiles, and that his name was glorified, that people were brought unto salvation, that Jesus Christ might be glorified. This is when revival would begin. When our hearts are broken before God daily and we seek only His glory. There will never be a time that we come in here and we have our own agendas and we have our own minds and we have our own goals even that we will see revival. It will not happen. Only when Jesus Christ is our main, our goal, our life, the whole reason we come in here to worship Him, to lift Him up, and to praise His name. That is when revival will come. That's when you will be filled with Holy Ghost. That's when you will be sanctified. That's when you will be brought closer to Him. It's when you do not seek your own. You do not try it by your own power. There is nothing. It is the same with Holy Ghost. There is nothing that you can do to gain the Holy Spirit. There is nothing you can do to prepare your own hearts for it. What you must do is surrender yourself. It comes with surrenderance and a brokenness before Christ. Saying, Lord, I need this, and I can't do it myself. Lord, I need Holy Spirit, and I can't gain Him. I can't bring Him unto myself. There's no amount of praying or worshiping or anything that I can do to bring myself into a place to where I am fit by my own power to receive Holy Spirit. It will not come. He will come when your heart is broken and soft for Jesus Christ. When you can be filled, it's a feeling. It's an overtaking. You allow the Holy Spirit to completely fill your life. Completely fill your heart, your soul, and your mind. You surrender every last bit of yourself to the Holy Spirit. And that is when He comes and He fills you. Baptism is a complete immersion in water. It is referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You are completely immersed in Holy Ghost. You are not just sprinkled with Him. He does not touch just one part of your life. He does not come just for church services or just for prayer time. He comes for every single minute that you spend upon this earth. He comes to change you. He comes to a surrendered heart. When the heart is surrendered, when the heart is broken, God will fill. God will save. God will sanctify. Salvation comes when the heart is broken. when the salvation comes, when there is no trust in self, but trust in Jesus Christ and a repentance from sin. You have trust and you have brokenness. You are broken because of your sin, and you know you can no longer do it by yourself. You trust Jesus Christ fully, and then there comes salvation. It comes with a faith in Jesus Christ. The same is for Holy Spirit. You will not be filled when you try to do it by your own power. If you come and try and pray yourself into the Holy Ghost, it will not work. That's not how it happens. It comes with a brokenness, with a surrenderance to Him. There would be more, but Brother Woods preached it all. And I'm not going to try to recap it. He did it very, very well, and so I'm not going to try and go over it again. So if you would please stand. I want us to come and spend some time in prayer. I want us to pray again what Brother Woods told us to pray this morning, and to search ourselves. To search ourselves very diligently to see if there's anything whatsoever that we are depending upon, trying to recommend ourselves unto Christ. It cannot be done. Throw it out the window. It cannot be done. There is not one thing that I can recommend myself unto God with. There's not one thing that I am worthy of salvation for. There's not one thing that I've done, past, present, or even future, that I can ever gain salvation with. If we do not learn to trust fully upon Jesus Christ, we will not move forward. We will not go forward. We will not see revival. We will not see souls saved. It is by the power of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And until we learn to fully trust upon that and lean upon that, whether it be in witnessing, in worship even, whatever we're doing, if we do not learn to fully trust in Jesus Christ, we will go nowhere and we will not move forward. But if we do learn to trust Jesus, if we do learn to surrender to Him and His will, the possibilities are quite literally endless. And we can see a revival in our communities, in our country, if the Lord so will it. We can see people saved and brought into this kingdom. But it will come only when we trust in His name. Let us come and pray.